Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. And now reading Psalm 43. Vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. This is the word of the Lord.
But today, in the middle of some series, I want to just do a one-off talk on Psalm 42 and 43, titled From Depression to Joy. And we need to be aware that how we handle the stresses of life, especially during COVID-19, is impacted by our temperament and our personality. Now, you may not call yourself temperamental, but in fact, all of us have a temperament, a mental constitution, an emotional mood, or a natural disposition. And our God-given temperament impacts how we handle life's situations, including COVID-19, financial stress, relationship stress, and so on. Now, they talk about four types of temperaments, you always try to work out which one you are, and there are various tests you can do to work out what you are. They talk about the sanguine temperament. This person is normally optimistic, resilient, social, active, extroverted. The phlegmatic temperament, more unemotional, composed, calm, easygoing. Or the choleric temperament, independent, decisive, goal-orientated, ambitious, hot-tempered, excitable type of person. And the melancholic temperament, more a gloomy, sad, more despondent sort of person, more given to depression. I did two tests online recently to see which one I was. And in one of them, I came up with one temperament. The next test, I came up with a different temperament, which tells you there's some overlap in all of these areas. And you can do a bit more research, if you like, on that. But psychiatrists recognize that we are given to different types of personality, and therefore we respond to situations differently. Those blessed with a sanguine personality might find it easier to look on the bright side of life, while melancholics are more likely to become depressed. And friends, often this depression needs to be treated with medication. And medication has been a great help to many of us. God provides medication to assist us in these areas. But we need to be aware that our temperament does not define our level of spirituality. depression is not necessarily a sign of spiritual weakness. It can be an opportunity to draw near to God and can lead to extraordinary spiritual growth. Indeed, if you read the Bible, prophets like Jeremiah and Elijah seem to be melancholics. The hymn writer William Cooper, the famous preacher C.H. Spurgeon, had a melancholic personality. Despite their emotional difficulties, they achieved great things for God. And the psalmist who wrote Psalm 42 and 43 wrote it out of an experience of intense sadness of heart. It is a psalm composed by someone, we could say, in the midst of depression. We notice, we look at Psalm 42 and 43, that they indeed one psalm, not two. Many Hebrew manuscripts present the psalms as a single unit. Psalm 43, you'll notice, does not have an introductory heading. And they are joined together by a common refrain or chorus, 42 verse 5, 42 verse 11, and 43 verse 5. The refrain not only unites the two psalms, but also defines their central theme. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Friends, here is a man lamenting his situation, expressing his pain, his depression, and yet it will be for him a catalyst for spiritual growth. So what's going on for this psalmist? Why is he so downcast? Why is he so disturbed? And in this sermon today, I'm indebted to the work of Clements and in his book, Songs of Experience, a series of expositions on the Psalms that I read many years ago have been a great help in understanding their context and their application. But firstly, let's have a look at the psalmist's depression. What are some of the causes of his depression? Firstly, spiritual isolation. The psalmist feels distant from God. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God and for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? So he feels like God is a long way away. And he likens himself to a drought-stricken animal. We saw the kids talk earlier, didn't we? At the dried riverbeds for refreshment, but finds nothing. The deer goes to find refreshment, and there's no water. The psalmist feels distant from God. God seems inaccessible to him. Have you ever felt like that? Many have. You know God, you know he loves you, but he feels inaccessible. Friends, when a believer is depressed because of his or her circumstances, maybe unemployment or a bad marriage or sick children, it almost always results in a sense of spiritual desertion. And prayer is difficult at those times. You rely on the prayers of others to sustain you. When people talk of Christian joy and peace and victory, it sounds like empty platitudes to you. God is close to us, but he seems remote from us when we suffer depression. As someone has said, a disturbance in our body chemistry can affect our emotional makeup, and a disturbance in our emotional makeup can disturb our spiritual awareness too. Friends, if you have a migraine, you're not going to feel like shouting hallelujah at the top of your voice. And if you are suffering from depression, you're not going to feel close to God. But secondly, physical isolation. Verse 42, or chapter 42, verse 5, he feels homesick. He feels the pain of isolation. He's not suffering the pangs of guilt or unbelief, though. He believes in God and he calls out to God. So this is not someone who's doubting God. He trusts God. He believes in God. But he feels isolated. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. It seems like the psalmist was one of the Levitical singers in the choir at the temple in Jerusalem. The sons of Korah is in the heading, the Levitical choir. He remembers leading the congregation in worship in religious festivals. That was the high point of his life. But for one reason or another, he can't do that any longer. It may be that as a northerner, he can't now go to the south when the kingdom was divided. But more likely that he's one of the exiles, taken off into Babylonian captivity much later in 50 or 587 BC. He does speak in the psalm of the oppression and taunts of the enemy, maybe the enemy of God's people. Whatever the cause, this physical isolation made him feel homesick. Being in Jerusalem meant everything to him. Friends, homesickness is enough to make anybody depressed. Imagine being stuck overseas during COVID-19, away from your family, you couldn't get back. Or quarantine in a hotel room for 2 weeks. Or working interstate and you want to be home. And finally, the Queenslanders let you in. What do you remember in prayer, our missionaries overseas? Ado and Claire, David and Carol, Jasmine, amongst others. Or missionaries stuck in Australia, but their home is back in Lebanon. They want to be there with their people, to love them, to care for them, to preach. Homesickness is enough to make anyone depressed. And there is social isolation. He feels lonely. Where is your God? They ask him. My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These could be unsympathetic fellow Israelites or the oppressive Babylonian masters, but it is clear he has no friends to confide in. His social environment was hostile and humiliating. Where is your God? They ask in contempt. Most of us know what that is like, how hard it is to maintain a positive spirit when you feel alone. The insults at the office, maybe, the mockery on the sporting field, the rejection by a spouse, the humiliation by a parent or a child. Isolated, alone. Where's your God who's going to help you out, they say. You claim to be a believer, you claim to be a Christian, well, where's your God now, they ask. As if life isn't tough enough, you now feel isolated, lonely. And friends, during this time of COVID-19, we know that loneliness is a major issue. Now, loneliness is a major issue in our nation, or was a major issue before COVID-19. Some people stuck at home, alone, single, working from home, alone, not being able to go out and see others. It's a short step from loneliness to depression. But you see, not only do we see the causes of his depression, we see some of the symptoms. You may recognize these in your own life from time to time. There are tears. My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day, where is your God? My tears. He's emotional. He's crying. He's weeping. It's like he can't stop it. Can't control his emotions. I don't know what's wrong with me, we often say. I just keep weeping. It's a common feature of depression. Or fatigue, or feeling flat. And he asks himself, why are you downcast, oh my soul? You know, those times where you should be okay, but you just feel down and flat. You have no energy and no enthusiasm. It's like an inner fatigue. You are permanently tired. You ask, what's wrong with me? How many people have said over this period of time, I'm just tired. I just feel tired. I don't know what's going on. Or emotionally disturbed. Why so disturbed within me? There's this continual emotional upheaval in his life. And in verse 10, he says, my bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me. As if someone is sticking knives into him. His whole body is disturbed. Feeling overwhelmed. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. Friends, the deep calls to mind the primeval waters of chaos and terror that had prevailed before God ordered the universe. It's just wild. There's deep. There's waters. And people who are depressed will often talk about being drowned by circumstances. Everything is on top of me. Their sorrow seems to cover over them repeatedly in waves like the sea. It's just, you get through one period, there's another wave, and another wave, and another wave. Feeling rejected. describes his feelings of rejection. 42 verse 9. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? And 43 verse 2, he says, you are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? His whole personality is torn by a sense of loss. Like a child abandoned by its mother. Like a lover jilted by his fiancée. Like a widow grieving for her husband. He feels devastated and heartbroken. A common expression by a depressive person is, no one cares about me. He feels forgotten and rejected by the most important person in his life, and this is God. As the deer pants for the streams of water, my soul longs for you, O God, pants for you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? For the psalmist, his depression becomes a spiritual problem and not just an emotional one. He questions why he's feeling this way. He feels frustrated and bewildered. He knows it's not right to think this way. I'm a believer. I shouldn't feel this way. Why am I so downcast? What's happened to me? What has happened to my faith? Are the questions we often ask. But as he wrestles with his inner turmoil, we learn four things that will help us to overcome our depression, to move from depression to joy. Firstly, face up to your feelings. 42:5, 42:11, 43:5. See, unfortunately, many depressed people try to find some escape from their tortured emotions. It may be in alcohol, it may be in drugs, some other form or sort of diversion. Others pretend they're okay. They say they're okay to their friends, to their doctors, and to their pastors. There's nothing wrong with me, I'm okay. The psalmist, though, does something far more courageous. He faces up to his feelings. He says, tears have been my food day and night. Friends, let me say, if you're struggling with depression at this time, you need to face up to your feelings. You may be homesick, lonely, maybe guilty or anxious. It's eating away at you subconsciously. Maybe you've lost someone very close to you. You haven't come to terms with the grief. Maybe you just have a melancholy temperament. You tend to get the blues from time to time. Whatever the cause, you need to admit your negative feelings to yourself and to God. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? 42:9. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? The psalmist expresses his pain and confusion to God. Why is that happening? God is his rock and stronghold. Well, it seems like the rock has moved, the stronghold has fallen. We need to find a release valve for these feelings when we have them. We need to get them off our chest. We need to talk about them. We need to also remember the past. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. I think it's important to try and look back and remember the past, what it was like in the past, the positive things. Take our minds off the negative. Because it moves him to this, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? As he looks back to the past, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Verse 5. The recollection of the past brings some sense of sadness, but also brings him hope because he remembers what he's had in the past. And his memory releases a little bit of joy in his life. He remembers the past. He remembers the joy. He remembers going with the festive throng to celebrate God and to worship God. And he remembers what he had in the past. Friends, when you experience struggle, remember your salvation, the love of God in Christ, your forgiveness, the joy of new life in Christ, friendship with God, that you are now a child of God, loved by the creator of the universe, that you have a purpose and a destiny that God has promised you. You have prayer and you have the word. You have the fellowship of God's people. Maybe in your small group, as we can't gather on church on Sundays, you have answered prayers. Remember the camps. Remember the ministry. Remember the holiday club last year. Remember the worship. So the old Puritans encouraged people to write a diary of the soul. Because when you're feeling down, reading it may just lift you up. Look back and remember, he says. And then preach to yourself. Now, I must confess that people often think that talking to yourself is the first sign of lunacy. But I think it's very therapeutic. I do it a lot. He says one of the finest therapies for keeping oneself sane is to talk to yourself. Listen to me. Talk to yourself. I already know you do it. It's okay. You're not mad. You're just normal. And so this psalmist, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Speak to yourself when you're down. Soul, why are you feeling like this today? Why are you downcast within me? Put your hope in God. Praise him. He's your Saviour and he's your God. Friends, when I'm not feeling too good, when life is falling apart, when opposition comes, I preach to myself. I look at the cross of our Saviour and I see a suffering Saviour. One who loves me and cares for me. Doesn't matter what anyone else says, how isolated I may be, how rejected I may be, there is a Saviour who loves me deeply, and he proved it by going to the cross. I see his love, his sacrifice. I see forgiveness coming. I see his passion. And then I look at the resurrection. I see an empty tomb. Because the crucified one and the one who was dead and buried rose from the dead on the third day. And he promises life and forgiveness and power and strength and an eternity to come. Preach to yourself, will you? I preach to myself all the time. Sometimes things happen in your life and you've got nothing else to do but preach to yourself the gospel. Not much good preaching just to others. You sometimes need to preach it to yourself. Soul, put your hope in God. Soul, God's your Saviour and your God. He is your rock. He is your refuge. Friends, we are never the helpless victims of our emotions. Even in the most severe depressions, we still have reserves of willpower and self-control at our disposal. We can either fight our melancholy temperament or we can surrender to it. And the message of the psalmist is fight it. Don't let your feelings dictate to you. You do the dictating by the power of God. You've been charged. And pray to God. God is the one who can bring us through the struggles and stresses of life. Those things that lead to depression and sense of hopelessness, God can deal with. When the psalmist stops speaking to himself, he addresses his words to God. The beginning of his deliverance is now in sight. Chapter 43, verse 1. Vindicate me, O God. Plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. He's talked to himself. Now he's talking to his God, who can answer his prayers. In other words, he says to God, get me out of this situation that is generating this depression. And he prays in verses 3 and 4, send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with a harp, O God, my God. He confesses his need for God to lead him in verse 3, doesn't he? Why? Why does he confess his need to God? Because he's in the dark. As John Piper writes, how many people come for prayer pointing to their head and say, I know that God is true. I know that he loves me. I know that he promises never to leave me nor forsake me. And then they point to their heart, say, but I don't feel it. That's what this man is experiencing. God is his refuge objectively, but subjectively, he feels rejected and forsaken. And so he prays that God will lead him with light and truth. The light and truth of God will bring him to God's holy dwelling, the sanctuary and altar of God. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. He wants to go to the altar of God. Friends, the altar is the place where the blood of the animal sacrifice was sprinkled to make atonement for the people, where God forgave the sins of his people. In other words, the light of God leads him to the truth of his sinfulness and takes him to the place of atonement and forgiveness. Now, we live this side of the cross of Jesus. We live in 2020. Well, we remember that year. We know where the altar of God is. It's not in the temple. It's not in any house made with hands. Our altar is Jesus Christ crucified and risen and standing before the throne of God. As the hymn says, before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. Christ, our high priest, our sacrifice, our altar. And the light of God that leads us today is the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And the light of the gospel leads us to Christ, to the altar, to the cross. And there our hearts are illumined further to see our sin and our wonderful forgiveness. Then the third stage of his prayer is that this light and truth will lead him to God as his joy and delight. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. Friends, the final goal of his life is God himself, our joy and delight. Or very literally, from the Hebrew, God, the gladness of my rejoicing. It's amazing, isn't it? Here's a man threatened by enemies and feeling danger from his adversaries, yet he knows that the ultimate battle of his life is not the defeat of his enemies. It is not escaping natural catastrophe. It is not being healed from cancer. The ultimate battle is, will God be his joy and delight? Will God be his joy and delight? Is God your joy and delight? If it's something else, it will lead to depression. And the final stage of his prayer is that the light and truth will lead him to express his joy that he feels in God. I will praise you with a harp, O God, my God. He moves to a place of rejoicing in God. From depression to joy. Face up to your feelings. Don't deny them. Remember the past and God's glorious work in the past. Preach to yourself. You're not mad for preaching to yourself. Talk to yourself. Remind yourself of what God has done for you in Christ and what wonderful plans he has for your future. And pray to God that he might be your joy and delight. That if everything else is taken away, God is your treasure. That's in him that you find joy and delight. Friends, we're going to sing together. It's the song Living Hope. And partway through that first verse, we read these words. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished. The end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. God bless you as you trust in him and find your joy in him.